I'm John Kroll. Today on No Limits, in anticipation of Small Business Saturday, we're going to talk about the importance of shopping locally during the holidays. We will discuss the difference it makes to the economy close to home and where and how you can spend your holiday shopping dollars among neighbors. My guests are Graham Brown of United State of Indiana, Danielle Shipley of Supremacy, and Britt Smith of Yelp. Please join the conversation. Call 866-476-3881. Email nolimits at WFYI.org. Facebook is No Limits WFYI. Twitter is WFYI. Now, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We're going to be talking about the economic impact of shopping local, particularly during the holiday season. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. My guests are local entrepreneurs Graham Brown of United State of Indiana and Danielle Shipley of Supremacy, and Britt Smith, who is the Senior Community Manager for Yelp Indy. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.
So I think with this subject, we probably ought to talk about scale first and get an idea of what kinds of contributions that local businesses make to the economy here. How many of the dollars end up staying here that are spent here and get recirculated back into our economy versus, say, shopping, you know, elsewhere or with chains? I'll start with you on that, Britt, but I'd like to hear everybody's thoughts.
Yeah, I think one of the largest contributions that you see from it, not only in the economic approach, is neighborhoods. I think you can look at any given neighborhood in Indianapolis and see how these businesses have filled in one by one, fixed up the facades. I think of Fletcher Place, my own neighborhood downtown. And just a few years ago, there was several vacant buildings there. And one by one, you have Hotel Tango, you have Rook, you have, you know, all of these different businesses filling in and bringing even, you know, the pricing of homes in that neighborhood, the impact these businesses have is incredible.
Danielle.
The amount of money that comes back into the economy when you shop at a local business, local businesses in America make up 50% of all of the jobs. Mm-hmm. So all of our employees spend all of their money back into the city and the state, you know, depending on where they're from. And that's a huge impact economically just in our city alone.
And Graham?
Sure. I myself am a pretty good example of the economic impact. I own a business and get to pay myself, and I watch each individual dollar come in. You know, I'm not getting a paycheck that's being funneled through a big income source, and I just take one little piece of a bigger machine. My ability to sustain myself and to stay in Indianapolis comes directly from individual transactions from the people around me, my neighbors and my friends and my colleagues. I'm less of the statistics guy and more of kind of the living statistic of I have a job because the money that people are spending is staying here more and more.
Is it a hard argument to make? Because I think, and I'm not saying that pejoratively, it's, as we have seen politically and with a lot of the other, you know, globalization is a phenomenon now. Anyone who goes out to shop anywhere these days during the holidays realizes that the days when places would be shoulder to shoulder are somewhat over because more people do their shopping online and through other methods. Is it tough to say to people, to make the case, hey, you know, really long term, it makes more sense for you to come here and do this? I'll start with you on that, Graham.
I think it's less and less hard to make that case. I think in a good way, in a positive way, shopping local, at least in Indianapolis, is almost a status symbol, in the sense that I think in my community, you wouldn't go to Walmart to shop for Christmas, or you wouldn't do it all in one big Amazon cart and be done with it. I think everyone is starting to be a little more intentional about, hey, if the money we're spending right now on these gifts or on the things that we surround ourselves with, if that's not a meaningful transaction, we could probably skip it in the first place. You know, I think people my age, I'm 28, we grew up with a lot of things around us all the time. We've had many options of what to purchase. And we're kind of settling into, okay, well, in that case, I choose to purchase things that are meaningful. And what a relief that the Black Friday days are looking like they're getting behind us. You know, I think that that's less and less of a phenomenon, that for a $300 TV, you will jeopardize humanity. and I think that's a good thing. You know, we're growing up into a time where we just shop meaningfully. I think we impulse buy for ourselves, and you know, I buy a phone charger on Amazon. Sure, we all do it. But when we're buying things that we will be giving, or things that symbolize our relationships, I think we're really settling into, well, let's make that meaningful.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I was just thinking back to the convenience of shopping locally online. I think people are looking for convenience. And one of the beautiful things about it is you can do that online now. You can purchase from United State of Indiana. You can purchase from Tulip Tree Creamery. You can do it all from your couch and your pajamas. It doesn't necessarily mean a brick and mortar standpoint anymore.
Okay. Danielle, I wanted to hear your thoughts as well.
I think my biggest thought as far as making the argument about shopping local is, you know, if you go to Walmart and you buy a T-shirt and it's made in China, those are made by somebody in China. Whereas if you come to the soup shop, Supremacy, and you buy a cup of soup, you are buying it from the people standing right in front of you. These are people that you can see. You interact with their lives. So it's less not knowing who you're supporting. You know, my employees work 5, sometimes 6 days a week. I work 6-7 days a week. You are supporting us, you know. And I think that is my biggest argument with shopping local. That and the quality I often find is a lot better.
Well, and I wanted to follow up on Britt's point here, because it was actually, we're anticipating my next line of questioning. As online shopping, as we become a much more digital society and all of that, how has that affected the way that local businesses have to operate? You know, what changes in your business models or your ways of operation have you had to incorporate to, you know, to adapt to this pretty significant change in the way humans conduct themselves? Danielle, I'm going to start with you on that.
For food, I would say that the biggest thing would be ordering online for delivery. Is really all that we offer as far as sales online. But that has made a huge impact. It's a lot easier for somebody to go online, look at what soups we have, decide what they want for lunch, put in their name, all of their information is already stored, and then get their food delivered. You know, there's a lot of different delivery services that offer food delivery all throughout the city. That has made a huge impact on our sales, just the convenience of it. You don't have to stand there and on the phone and listen while I tell you every soup that we have and what it consists of. You know, that takes 10 or 15 minutes, whereas you could just look in 2 or 3 seconds and decide what you want.
Does that affect, though, that other component of shopping locally that you talked about, the relationship-driven piece of it, where, you know, people come into your place and they know you, they know the people who work for you or work with you. You know, that seems to be that there would be some dissonance there.
It is a little harder to build that relationship. But when you have somebody that orders once a week and you can anticipate what they're going to want, you know, if I don't have focaccia bread when somebody orders, I know that I can send them a baguette and they're okay with it. Or I know that I need to call them. It's a little harder to build the relationship, but it is not impossible. We've had multiple delivery clients that have said goodbye for whatever reason. You know, somebody went on a liquid diet, somebody moved out of state, and they let us know and they tell us and they say goodbye and they say thank you.
Oh, that's nice. It is. No, I'm not, and I'm not being facetious there because I doubt that Amazon gets too many of those emails or calls. Graham, in terms of how it's affected your business.
Sure. Well, I have had the company for 6 years, and we've never had a brick-and-mortar store. So I built the company and the brand and established myself in the state entirely online. And for me, it was the greatest thing that could have happened. It meant so much less investment to reach the audience that I was trying to reach. It meant that I could do it part-time. Mm-hmm. Which I did for quite a few years before it became my full-time job. And I think the human connection remains. You know, I really do. I'm kind of a naturally shy person. I'm mm-hmm. not a salesperson at all. So I found that one of the best human connections I could make early on in the business was when someone emailed me and said, hey, my shirt was the wrong size. And then to be able to email back, hi, my name's Graham. I'm the owner of USI. Keep that one. Give it to a friend. Let me make sure the right one gets in the mail today. And that really blows people's mind. You know, that I think the gap between that and an Amazon customer service experience is even bigger than the gap between a Walmart and an in-person, locally owned store. When people get a customer service email that they expect to start with their order number and be a very templated thing, and they read an email that says, hi, I'm the owner, just want to make sure that we're cool here, I'm going to make sure that it gets taken care of, that really bridges a huge gap. Whatever gap the internet puts in between the seller and the customer, I think that you can bridge it really quickly, especially when something goes wrong. I've never been too upset when things go wrong with our online sales, because it's such a good way to say, to remind people you chose to do business differently. You chose to get this from a place where it's a guy in his bedroom folding this shirt and shipping it out to you. There's no
You're confirming an awful lot of stereotypes.
I may have risen out of a few of those stereotypes. That might be my story. But reminding people it's not coming from a warehouse, and that is what you're choosing. Really, I think above the quality is a huge part of it, and the story and the products is a huge part of it. But really, just that idea that the one product you bought was significant to the person who sold it.
Britt, I promise I'm going to get to you and your thoughts on this too. But I wanted to follow up a bit with you, Graham, on that, since it was online. And how did your market find you, or how did you find your market, your customers at first? How did you go about doing that?
Sure. I'm not a
Because the storefront is, you do get people who just walk by and say, that
totally,
looks interesting.
Totally. I'm not a huge social media user, so there's a stereotype that I broke of my generation. Not a huge social media guy, but it really was. I witnessed the power of social media. I had a first shirt that was printed on the floor of my bedroom with just a little rinky-dink screen print kit, and that photo got shared, and the name United State of Indiana just kind of wrapped up as these posts were going. It needed a name to label it, and it was the most organic growth I could have imagined. We didn't do any paid advertising for the first 4 or 5 years of the business. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, me being thankful that my mom has this many friends on Facebook and that my brother has this many friends on Facebook.
Back
and that
to confirming those stereotypes.
Sure.
That's okay.
Using the internet in its most humanly rooted form to just say, okay, it's how awesome that you can all speak about something I'm doing so quickly.
Britt, I want to drag it back toward the how online shopping has changed the local shopping experience, which was the premise of the question from your perspective, since you're attempting to serve an awful lot of businesses and an awful lot of customers.
Yeah. I think one great example of that is the Yelp Bazaar that we host in December. We've got about 140 businesses, And as I've watched that grow over the years, it's amazing to see how their online platforms have changed in those 5 years and how much of it is now driven by online sales, how they had to, you know, kick up their website designs because so many people are instantly going to search for you. They're going to look on social media. So even if it, like Graham said, it may not be your thing, it's tricky because you have to kind of bring it to the table because people are looking for you.
If you are just joining us, we're talking about the economic impact of shopping locally and particularly its importance as we enter into the holiday season, and we're going to talk about why the holiday season is so important to businesses. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. My guests are two local entrepreneurs, Graham Brown of United State of Indiana and Danielle Shipley of Supremacy. And Britt Smith, she is the Senior Community Manager for Yelp Indy. I am John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking today about the economic impact of shopping locally, particularly during the holiday season. My guests are two local entrepreneurs, Graham Brown of United State of Indiana, he's a clothing retailer, and Danielle Shipley of Supremacy, a purveyor of soups of all sorts. Britt Smith, she is the Senior Community Manager for Yelp Indy. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Send us an email at nolimitswfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. So let's talk about the big thing here, which is the holiday season and just how important it is to all businesses, but particularly to locally owned businesses. You know, there's a story. I'm not even going to take it there. I know in my life in the not-for-profit world, basically 80% of your charitable revenue comes in between Thanksgiving and December. That's when people write their checks. Is it that way? How important is this period between Thanksgiving and say New Year's to you as a local business? I'll start with Graham on that one first.
Sure. Definitely important. We're not quite at the 80%, like you mentioned, John, but it is significantly close to that. So every day matters. This is definitely the time of year that I try to connect with my network as well as possible, just to remind them that, hey, in case you forgot, I do sell T-shirts for a living, and this is an important time for us. So it is crunch time for sure. And I was telling Danielle in the lobby, it's also the time of year that you get to meet your best customers. Throughout the year, you know, people will pick up a shirt or two shirts or send you a quick email. But this is the time of the year when we get to meet people who say, hey, I want to buy a shirt for 18 people in my family, or I want to get coffee mugs for all my volunteers. So in the midst of the craziness and in the midst of a lot of just kind of looking at the numbers and making sure that we're on track, you also get to see some of the coolest stories because people have a second to breathe and say, today's my day to get gifts, and I needed to talk to you about that. So it's a fun time, also very crazy.
Danielle.
So in the restaurant business, it's always a crazy time of year. People go out shopping. They need something to eat. They need something quick. Soup is a great quick food.
Well, and they're visiting with family members or people they don't get to see all the time and all of that.
Yeah. One thing that I have always noticed is we do sell, for instance, we sell Be Happy peanut butter in the store. The sales of just that one item go up significantly just as gifts for people. They're like, oh, I forgot my boss's Christmas gift. I'm just going to go pick up some peanut butter for them while I'm getting my lunch. I mean, we probably double the sales of peanut butter and any other sort of retail-y type thing that we have in the store between Thanksgiving and right before Christmas.
Britt, how large is it?
Yeah.
In terms of,
I think one of the things that we all are mentioning, there's a common thread here, but to put a word on it, is the experience. I think that's one of the things that sets shopping local apart. People are not just spending money that goes back to the economy, but there's an actual feel that you, there's a feeling you experience when you give the money to a local business. It comes back to, honestly, warm fuzzies. And knowing the story and narrative behind Graham's business, behind the soup at Supremacy, really knowing where that money is going and then how that product was created.
How large a slice of the spending during the holiday season is to locally owned businesses, and how large ends up going to, you know, the larger non-local concerns? Do you have, Britt, do you have any numbers on that? Or
I can't say that I do. I'd be making it up for you.
All right. Well, we discourage that. We want the information. I mean, Grandma or Danielle, I know you're probably much more focused on just how do I keep my business up and going rather
right.
than
some numbers right. over there.
Than you know, sort of the global perspective. Are you finding, though, that, Grandma, I noticed you mentioned earlier that it's actually gotten easier to persuade people to shop locally. Does that, and I guess a different question occurred to me. I'm going to ask the other one here in a second, but I want to take it, this one, to you specifically, because you are an online presence and all of that. In some ways, you have to work both sides of the street on this, because I presume you don't refuse to sell T-shirts to somebody who lives in, say, Seattle or Orlando or any place like that. So in some ways, your market is beyond local. Do you run into that kind of resistance from other markets about what's this guy from Indiana trying to do to?
Well, I am a kind of an anomaly case in that all the products I sell are Indiana themed. So I'm not only...
So you're selling to ex-Hoosiers, basically.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So I am kind of giving them that piece of local Indiana shopping that they can't do from Seattle, which is a really cool spot to be in, to see, you know, to see a big order of a bunch of shirts that have Indiana on them go to Kansas and just wonder what that story is, you know, is that... And who sent it? Was it someone in Indiana sending it out to them, or did someone from Kansas just really need a piece of home at that moment? So I am fortunate that the waters don't get too murky online as far as, you know, when do you stop being a local retailer and start being a national brand? Because the culture and the icons and the philosophy of my business kind of always started with that. No, we're local. That's what we're doing here. So, yeah. But it is an interesting spot to be in. You know, so many local businesses crowd around days like Small Business Saturday, where everyone is mm-hmm. out, where everyone's mm-hmm. out on the streets, shop to shop, going to local places. And in moments like that, I kind of am playing a different game. I'm kind of playing the game. Oh, when you get home and check your emails, mm-hmm. there's one little other thing that you can add to your gift list.
To your gift list. If you are just joining us, we are talking about the importance of shopping locally during the holidays. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. Or you can do what this caller is done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Caller, you're on the air. Caller? Well, we'll try to get that call back. So, in terms of shopping locally, Danielle, what is the largest challenge that you have you know, because you're competing with, you know, big corporate interests who have many more resources they can throw at. You know, what is the key challenge to getting something a successful local restaurant off the ground?
Social media. Unfortunately, I'm also not huge on social media. Social media has been our biggest benefit as far as getting our name out there. We also have a very active presence on Yelp. I personally use Yelp when I travel through to other cities. We have a very strong online presence with Yelp here. Really anything, anytime you can take something like the Yelp Bazaar or, you know, we do First Fridays at the Harrison Art Center. Anytime you can get your name out there like that, you have to take those opportunities. You might be donating product, you might be donating your time. But our biggest challenge is making sure that people know who we are and where we are.
How much of it is also figuring out what your identity is going to be? As you know, because I, at least, and I'm speaking from my own experience, and I'm not going to demean any restaurant or anything like that, but you know, an Applebee's is an Applebee's is an Applebee's, or any of the other chains such as that. When I decide I'm going to dine locally, I want something that's going to be distinctive, an experience that I can't have anywhere else, which is something Applebee's cannot tell me. So
for us, our identity is soup. You know, we make in the winter, we have 13 to 15 homemade soups every day. They're made inside our store, which I think is 800 square feet in total. Mm-hmm. So we manage to make, serve all of that. So our identity is set with our namesake. We do offer other items, you know, salads and breads and things like that. We listen to what the customer wants. If the customer doesn't like blueberry muffins, but they like the exact same recipe and blueberry bread, we'll just make blueberry bread. Not a big deal. Because we don't have a corporate entity, I guess, over us, we can make decisions day to day and decide what is best for us. But when it comes down to it, we make soup. We make really good soup. We make it the best that we can. It's not going to be something that's frozen out of a bag. That sometimes means that I go in at 4 a.m. and make soup because we had a great day yesterday and I'm out of soup. So we just go in and make it, you know.
How did you settle on soup?
That is a question for our owner, who is on his way back from Chicago right now. It just kind of came to him. He was offered the space in the Circle Tower building and he was trying to figure out what to do with it. And there are some non-competes because, you know, there's a Starbucks and there's a pizza place and there's a sandwich shop that we can't touch any of that. So he thought about doing like frozen yogurt, but there's one on the other side of the circle. And then he just thought of soup. He lived in Chicago for a long time and there's a big soup restaurant up there. I don't know. It's working pretty well for us.
Okay. Graham, how about in terms of the growth of your business, how did you settle on the idea of doing these Indiana-themed T-shirts?
It caught me by surprise. I'm a bit of a serial entrepreneur. My mind is kind of always bent toward, let's look at the situation we're in and see if there could be maybe a business to come out of this or a creative project or something that will eventually have an audience. So the logo that is my company's logo now was the logo of a band I was in right after I got out of college. And that was that first batch of shirts on my bedroom floor were for the band. And the logo is what looks like the American flag turned vertically with Indiana replacing the stars. Mm-hmm. And it had this ambiguous, iconic... It spoke to me, but that doesn't really mean much. I noticed that it spoke to other people. And the conversation that we're having right now, the why is it important to live locally? So I was starting the company in 2010, and that conversation was really getting momentum right then. So I think I was just kind of right place, right time of I created a single image that summed up something that people wanted to talk about and that they wanted to show off. They wanted people to know they were thinking about it, so let's wear it on our chest. And I just wrote it from there. It started with a single image. It didn't have a mission statement. I still don't have a mission statement. you know, it's still the
I'm not sure that's a huge loss. Really? Yeah. Between you and me.
The beauty of a local business is that it can be so adaptive. Yeah. There's no board. I tell people when I get a haircut, somehow that changes United States of Indiana. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's so closely tied to me that a day where I have a boost of confidence is a day where the business steps into new places that it's never been. And that's the fun thing, kind of being at the helm of it, is just saying there's really no pressure. We're not trying to meet any quarterly goals. We're not trying to impress any boss or shareholders or anyone. Like, what we're doing was meaningful from the start, and as long as we keep it meaningful, we're probably on the right track.
An email from a listener named Shannon says, I really enjoy holiday shopping, the annual Yelp Bazaar, because as someone who lives outside Indy, it's a great collection of Hoosier curated goods in one place. I may need another pillow in the shape of Indiana. talk to me a little bit about what the Yelp Bazaar is.
Yeah. The Yelp Bazaar.
Where you can find pillows, apparently.
I know right where to find them. Crimson Tate on Mass Ave.
Okay.
The Yelp Bazaar is in its fifth year. It is a pop-up shopping local event. And I think one of the things that really stands out about the bazaar is it's completely free for the businesses who participate and completely free for the attendees. It's something that we've found a great niche to bring all those people together in one place. And I'm really proud to say, like, when you think about $68 of every $100 spent locally stays in the local economy. Last year at the bazaar, we had over $200,000 spent locally in 3 hours. So you think about how quickly that money is pumping into the local economy. And when you think about the businesses that are curated for the bazaar, it has never been easier to shop local as a Hoosier. You now have local pickles, local Friddle, local, you know, everything you can think of, you can almost find it locally made now.
How big a deal is the Yelp Bazaar, Small Business Saturday, those things to your business model, Danielle?
It is very important. Not only is the Yelp Bazaar a sales opportunity for a restaurant, a business of any sort, it is the idea that maybe that person doesn't want soup tonight because they already had dinner. But now that person knows that we not only deliver in a 16-block radius of downtown, we cater weddings. We cater weddings for cheaper than anybody else in the city, promise. And we're, you know, we're willing to go the extra mile for whatever our customer needs. And just it's
so
another
sort of
opportunity to get our name out
the
there.
The whole Seinfeld soup Nazi thing.
Yes. But it's another way to get our name out there. So the money made that night is great, but the
brand
wedding
awareness.
The brand awareness, the wedding that I did because the people met us at the Yelp Bazaar last year is just astronomical.
How huge an edge is it? Because both you and Graham were talking about how you don't have to run things through a focus group. Not everything has to be market tested. Somebody can come in and ask for it, and you can immediately pivot and try it. You can try it on a pretty small scale. How big an edge is that for you in terms of making your business and your business model successful? I'm going to start with Danielle.
For us, it's huge. We can make a small batch of something, see if it goes over, you know. I don't have to call my boss who calls his boss who calls the corporate store that then calls corporate headquarters, and it takes a month to try to get an answer. I can have an answer for you in 5 minutes. I can try it the next day sometimes. You need a gift card. Okay, I can do that right here. I don't have to ask anybody's permission. So it's a huge difference.
And I'm going to get Graham's thoughts on the other side. We are talking about the economic impact of shopping locally. My guests are local entrepreneurs Graham Brown of United States of Indiana and Danielle Shipley of Supremacy, and Britt Smith. She's Senior Community Manager for Yelp Indy. I am John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking today about the economic impact of shopping locally, particularly during the holiday season. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi. So we have some numbers, Brett, right?
Yes.
About, thanks to our crack research staff here.
That's right.
On the impact of shopping locally on local economies. I'm going to toss it to you because you're...
Yeah. Yeah, one of my favorite ones is that small businesses have increased by 49% since 1982. And I think you can see that very easily in Indiana. Like I was saying, when we go to set up the bazaar, you have to apply in June, and the applications end in July. And we are getting hundreds of applications. And the key is these items have to be made in Indiana. And you're seeing such high-quality products made in Indiana now. You're seeing leather purses. You're seeing lotion blends that are made with all organic ingredients. It's just really the level and quality that you're finding in Indiana businesses is really impressive.
And, you know, in terms of that growth, I mean, that you know, by my math, that's 34, almost 35 years ago. What accounts for the growth in small businesses, would you say? I'll stay with you, but I want to hear the thoughts of the people who are actually operating them as well.
I would start out by thinking about the restaurant and dining scene and how more people are asking questions now. They're asking, where are these ingredients coming from? How are these cows being raised? There's so many, after people have seen some of the secrets behind big bucks stores and restaurants, they're starting to ask those questions, which are making businesses more socially accountable and giving higher quality. So I think people are wanting to know more behind the scenes about the business, which provides local businesses with a good platform.
Danielle, do you get a sense from the people who come into Supremacy why they choose to come there as opposed to going someplace else?
The biggest thing is that things are made local, and I can tell you every ingredient and where it comes from with everything that's in our store, whether it's a soup or a dessert or the Be Happy peanut butter. I know where it comes from, and people are really looking at what they're eating and what they're putting into their body, which is a whole nother radio show, and that's very important to people.
Yeah, we've done those shows about it. a lot of those, and people are very passionate about that. Got a question from a listener named Alexander. And if you'd like to reach out to us by email, which is how Alexander has done so, you can find us at nolimits@wfyi.org. Alexander says, I saw an Ohio ripoff of Graham's iconic design. Is that kind of intellectual property theft a concern for his business?
It's definitely a little bit of a concern, but not huge, really. Like, I just think that intellectual property theft is something that you probably talk about in board meetings more than I talk about it with the people who are folding shirts and, like, really running the business. So I did the store Meijer, like the big box store Meijer, did have a shirt that was just identical to our logo once, which was mind-blowing. I mean, it was awesome for me. You know, like, that was not a setback of the business at all. That was like a highlight of my life, to go into Meijer and see someone who ripped me off, like really blatantly ripped me off. That was, you know, I still have that shirt in my closet. That's like a scrapbook for me. So that incident got me to trademark things as it should be and to kind of, you know, make sure that the house was in order. But for the most part now, you know, we take a lot of the mentality of the more the merrier. You know, Alexander has seen a ripoff that I haven't, and I trust that the customers who care about my business will kind of take care of it for me. I definitely don't see myself in a competitive environment. It's always been important to me to make sure that my business wasn't operating in a competitive environment, but more of a collaborative environment. And there will always be... Haters gonna hate, I guess is what the kids say. There'll always be some setbacks and some people you have to deal with, but really that is just kind of a small facet of how we run it.
But the other side of that is, did you ever think of sort of expanding it and saying, oh, well, United State of Indiana is working really, really well. I could do United State of Ohio, too. I could do United State of
sure.
Mississippi. I could do United State of Montana.
Totally. And I think, so there's a place for that. On the back end business side of what I do, that is really intriguing to me. I think that...
So you're thinking about it.
I am. You might see that. You might see that before the next presidential election. But I'll tell you, on the brand side, on the customer-facing side, it's not interesting to me. I don't want to find words that embody Montana. I don't want to compose images that speak to the people of New Jersey. It's something I know very little about. I've lived in Fort Wayne and then Anderson and then Indianapolis. Or actually, I've lived in Bluffton and then Anderson and then Indianapolis. And that is just a lovely portrait of small town rural Indiana, post-industrial struggling Indiana, finding its identity. And then central, heart of the state, you know, things are booming Indiana. That's what I know, and that's what I'm going to speak to. The businessman who likes spreadsheets looks at all those other states and sees an opportunity. But the local T-shirt guy, you know, what I do is really rooted right here.
Got another question for you, Graham, and I apologize to Brett and Danielle. And this one's from a listener named Emmett. It's also via email. If you'd like to reach out to us via email, you can find us at nolimits@wfyi.org. Emmett writes, your company was started out of the design of a shirt for a band. Are you still in a band and or looking to start one?
Sing for us.
No, I'm not. Unfortunately, it's one of the things that has been sacrificed in the hectic schedule of owning a business and also in the unfortunate diaspora of my friend group. You know, as you get over 25, you just watch, oh, there went my guitarist and there went my drummer. That all have families or grad school or things. But music is still extremely influential. And I think that's just like another thing that makes small local businesses different. Like, I let the music I'm listening to influence my marketing campaign. You know, I can put an Instagram video out today that has the song that I've been listening to all week in the background. And you start to see, like, my real personal life, the culture that is affecting me, can just immediately jump right into the way that I communicate about my business. And that's so cool. That is like the freedom that I could never get away from. If there was a great corporate national job, I just don't think I could ever separate myself from, like, just being able to say, yeah, the music in my headphones right now is changing the way I'm doing business. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that stayed with me. Not really looking to start a band, not in a band at the moment, but who knows? If you see me on a stage somewhere, you'll know that I found some free time.
Things changed.
Yeah.
Things changed. So, Brett, in terms of the Yelp Bazaar, how many people are going to come? And if people are interested in it, where do they go to find information?
Yeah, looking back at last year, we had 7,000 people, and it's at Central Library, which is one of my favorite parts about it, is we've had the pleasure of highlighting some of downtown's brightest venues. We started at City Market. We quickly outgrew City Market. It almost became dangerously too crowded in there. And then we moved to Old City Hall as a vacant space. I remember cleaning up the crumbling drywall in Old City Hall to make that event happen. And then we moved to Central Library, which is where we are now. And I think one of the key things to highlight is so many people have never been in our public library, our Central Library, which is a beautiful space. So I'm really excited that we can get 7,000, now probably 9,000 people this year into Central Library to see what a great resource it is. And if people are wanting, you have to RSVP this year for the event. You go to yelp.com/events. You can find it on the Yelp app as well. It's completely free. It's all ages. It takes 2 seconds.
But if they show up without making a reservation, chances are they're not going to make their way inside.
They will have to wait behind the RSVP'd people. I recommend RSVPing. It will make your life easier. You'll find out where parking is and where to find Graham and Supremacy and where to find these different businesses.
Now, what special things, Danielle, do you do for the holiday season in terms of of soups? What treats would people who would come to Supremacy during that period when, let's face it, we associate an awful lot of the holidays with food? So
we do a lot of seasonal soups. So between, you know, really Halloween and Thanksgiving, we do like turkey pumpkin chili and butternut squash. Those are things you can find on the menu at other times of the year, but not necessarily every day like you can at that time of year. During the winter, we'll do a lot more hearty soups. We'll use cinnamons and nutmegs and all of those really good holiday flavors and seasonings and spices will go into the soups.
And Graham, do you offer special products for the holiday season or just ramp up the offerings of the ones you have?
We just ramp it up. I will say that knowing that sales tick up throughout the holidays lets us get a little wilder with the things we choose to make. This year, we did a lot of weird stuff this year. We did T-shirt-shaped air fresheners. just really trying to...
I'm trying to imagine that.
Graham. Yeah, okay. Check out the website.
I'll just send one to John.
And you can drop the URL of the website if you want.
Sure, it's unitedstateofindiana.com. Okay. Super easy to remember.
Okay, so what other weird things did you do then?
What have we even done? We just did a new poster series. Good example to talk about. The people who designed and printed the posters, they're just these phenomenal-looking hand-screen-printed posters. Mm-hmm. The people who did that live in Illinois now. Their company is based in Illinois. But they were close friends of mine here, and the guy who runs that poster shop in Champaign, Illinois, was one of the first people to ever print a United States of Indiana shirt 6 years ago. So I think it's also – that brings up the interesting point that, like, let's not be legalistic with local. Mm-hmm. You know, that guy is living my story as much as anyone in Indianapolis is because he was there right at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And now this business that he's built elsewhere – we're still tied together, not because he's the cheapest or because he was at the top of the Google search. It's because I've met him. Like, you know, our lives were intertwined for a while. And now when I needed posters, boom, you know, that connection is right there. Definitely check out the posters. I'm so happy with how they turned out. And then T-shirts, sweatshirts, just a little bit of everything. Every little perspective that you want to look at Indiana, I think we probably have a design that kind of speaks to it.
We have heard from Art. He wanted to make a comment on the neighborhood macroeconomics of local production and local bazaars. He says it's about the wonderful circular nature of these businesses, how the very local sales of very locally produced items benefit the very local residents, that it becomes kind of an impenetrable circuit here that moves around. Although, Graham, to some degree what you're saying is, you use the term that we shouldn't be legalistic in it, that, you know, we shouldn't object. And we use local as sort of the catch-all phrase for this. But what I'm hearing, at least from the three of you, is really the driving thing is not necessarily the location of the business. It is that it is relationship-based, that the people know each other, the customers and the people who are providing the goods and the services know each other. How critical is that? I mean, should we be talking about relationship business-based business models rather than local business models? Danielle?
Relationships to us are extremely important, not just relationships with our customers, relationships with our suppliers, relationships with local and national news outlets, you know, our relationship with Brittany at Yelp. All of those relationships have helped us form who we are and continue to drive our business day to day. So, yes, local is very important, but relationships are what we work on every day.
Graham, is the local thing or is it the relationship thing that matters?
It's the relationship thing for me because I can't get far away from the fact that the only reason my business is succeeding and ever became something that grew out of my bedroom was because people valued it enough to introduce it to their relationships. You know, the ninth or tenth order from my website wasn't from in the state. You know, it was someone in Tennessee who got really into it because, oh, finally, you know, I get to remember Indiana in this way. So for me, it very much is just the relationship base. Because the fact is you can have a locally owned business in Indianapolis on Main Street mm-hmm. where the money is not going to things that we support. You know, there are local business owners who are shady. You know, like mm-hmm. it is not a mm-hmm. like just end all be all that you're a good business if you're a local business. Like the businesses that care about people are the businesses that really matter. I know when you go to something like the Yelp Bazaar, I walk those aisles and I know those business owners and they are. And really, customer-facing businesses, I think, really have to keep that or they don't succeed. You know, when I need to hand you a product to make sure that I can make payroll, I'll learn how to be a good person. So I think it really is just if that is at the forefront of your business, I'm taking care of people. I'm not selling anything. I'm not mm-hmm. selling you anything or meeting a bottom line or trying to scale or trying to expand. If I'm trying to take care of people, I think that, you know, if we use the word local, let's have that be the meaning of local.
Brett, is it the relationship or the location?
Oh, definitely relationship. I think of Yelp reviews, and the number one trend in all Yelp reviews is the words customer service time and time again. And I think both Graham and Danielle get that. You can see how great reviews they have. People want to be treated well and recognize that they're spending their money. They're willing to spend more money so that they can make that relationship with you. So it proves itself with the trend of the word itself.
Well, I think that will have to be the last word. I'd like to thank my guests, local entrepreneurs Graham Brown of United State of Indiana, Danielle Shipley of Supremacy, and Britt Smith, who is Senior Community Manager for Yelp Indy. I'd like to wish you all a prosperous holiday shopping season as well.
I am
John Krall. You have been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Executive Producer, Michelle Johnson. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive Media Coordinator, Scott McAllister. Technical Producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And Board Engineer, Joe Hatcher. Abby Cherzini screens our calls. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.